1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by T-Mobile Business Advantage.
Michael Wallace, President Trump has fired the head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics after it released a disappointing July jobs report. It revised the number of jobs added in May and June downward by 258,000. Without citing any evidence, Trump claimed the commissioner and the Bureau rigged the numbers to make him look bad.
We're doing so well. I believe the numbers were phony, just like they were before the election. And there were other times. So you know what I did? I fired her.
Some economists say the firing raises concerns about the integrity of future jobs reports. The president has ordered the deployment of two nuclear submarines in response to what he calls highly provocative comments by former Russian President Dmitry Medvedev. CBS's Catherine Watson says the two men have been going at it on social media.
It started on Monday of this week when President Trump shortened his deadline for Russia to accept a ceasefire or suffer economic consequences to just 10 days, down from the 50 days he initially set earlier this summer. That prompted a response from the former Russian president, who said that each new ultimatum is a step closer towards war. And then the former Russian president reminded President Trump of the nuclear capabilities that Russia still has. That prompted the post from President Trump with a reminder of his own to Medvedev of American capabilities.
Trump warned words can lead to unintended consequences. CBS's Deborah Pata tells us two U.S. officials visited Gaza yesterday.
Middle East envoy Steve Witkoff and U.S. ambassador to Israel Mike Huckabee toured a Gaza Humanitarian Foundation distribution site in Rafah in the south. Witkoff posted on social media that he had spent over 5 hours inside Gaza in order to gain a clear understanding of the humanitarian situation and help craft a plan to deliver food and medical aid to the people of Gaza.
Today, Witkoff met with the families of Israeli hostages still being held in Gaza. Police in Montana are searching for the gunman who killed four people at a bar in the town of Anaconda. This man lives there.
I know everybody involved, and it's just a bad deal for our town.
The suspect lived next door to that bar. Baseball's All-Star Game will return to Chicago in 2027.
Major League Baseball will be heading to Wrigley Field for the Midsummer Classic to take place on July 13, 2027. Chicago Cubs Executive Chairman Tom Ricketts.
We can't wait to show fans who have never been here before what kind of experience this place is, what kind of a special ballpark we have, and what an incredible neighborhood we have around Wrigley Field.
The 2026 All-Star Game will be held in Philadelphia. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News, Chicago.
This is CBS News.
If you're 55 and up, T-Mobile has plans built just for you. Right now, you can save big with T-Mobile's phone and home internet bundle. Visit your local store to learn more.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Greetings, everyone. This is Terry Naturally with another edition of Terry Talks Nutrition. We're here every weekend, same time, same station. You can join us anytime you like, and we would love to have you join us. If you think we are bringing you great benefits, we're giving you information that you could use to be healthier and happier, more emotionally adjusted, and be in a better mood every day, why not be happy? And if we could bring you all that, you've got to tell your friends. There are so many people that are in a bad mood, overweight, in pain, suffering, and many, many illnesses that are only brought about by the way they live, by the choices they make. So if we can help them change that, isn't it worth it? I was in very, very bad health as a young person, in my late teens, early 20s. Very unhealthy. and three people in my life that I still refer to as my three angels changed my life. And today I feel better physically, mentally, emotionally than I ever did in my life. Many, many years later. Wouldn't we all like to feel that way? And you can. You're never too old to change. You may think so, but you can change anytime you want. But the problem is, do you want? You have to want to change. And if you change your diet, change your lifestyle choices, you can't keep eating the same food, the same diet, the same junk food, and expect to be healthier. Health is not due to bad luck. Health is due to a bad diet. And if your diet is bad, your health will be bad. Every cell in your body requires all the nutrients that can be only provided by food, not drugs, not medications, and not by your doctor's education and skills. Your doctor doesn't know any more about health and nutrition than you do. And maybe after listening to several of my programs, you may have more education, more knowledge than your doctor has ever had. And I'm not picking on doctors. They do miracles. We would not want to be without doctors. We need them. But not when it comes to nutrition. The only time that you want doctors is when you have an accident. If you're in an accident, you don't want somebody to run down to the health food store and get some vitamin C or fiber if you've been in a serious accident. You need a doctor. Doctors have skills that no one else has. But when it comes to nutrition, it's all brought about by your food that you're eating. You have a bad diet, you're going to have bad health. There's no way in between to change that. And I'm not going to stop harping on you. Sometimes I think I get overboard with how much I preach to how you can change your health by changing your diet. It's as easy as that. But you know what? People balk. People don't want to change. People don't like change. People like eating garbage. Eating like sugar and sweets, carbohydrates. That primarily makes up the American diet. And then all we have to do is get rid of the carbohydrates, at least down to 50 to 75 grams of carbohydrates a day, and no sugar, no sugar drinks, no juices. Get rid of the sugar. Sugar doesn't kill you outright. But sugar causes a metabolic disorder in your body. And over time, it changes your chemistry. So in time, sugar does cause complications in your metabolic function. You've got to want to change. Do you want to change? If you're listening, then I think you do want to change. You wouldn't be listening through this hour or every weekend if you didn't want to change. You can change any disease because all the diseases today are brought about by a bad diet. 98% of all diseases, so-called diseases, are brought about by your choices, lifestyle choices. And diet is the most important one. You can't eat a bad diet and exercise and expect to change anything. Exercise is important, but I only put about 10% on diet, on exercise. 90% on diet. You can't eat sugar and carbohydrates and garbage and say, oh, I've got to start exercising to get in shape. You just change your diet. And get rid of the sugar and garbage that creates all the fat on your body, all the fat in your body, all the abdominal fat, all the obesity, all that big belly you're carrying around. Some refer to it as a beer belly or a bread belly. It's a belly of fat. And all that fat is entwined in all your glands and organs. And the only thing that's going to change that, that belly fat, is your diet. You start eating more protein and lots of fats. But I'm not saying junk fats. I'm saying healthy fats. You'll change. Get rid of the carbohydrates, or at least drastically reduce them. And when you do have them, make sure they come from healthy fats. Or, excuse me, healthy carbohydrates. Like vegetables and fruits. And not dried fruits. Fresh fruits. Those that fill you up. When you eat an apple, you're probably satisfied. You eat an orange, you're probably satisfied. But when you eat dried fruits, you can eat an awful lot of dried fruits and not be full. And also, too, don't drink juice. You're drinking the equivalent of 10, 8, 10 or 9 or 10, whatever, pieces of fruit. A glass of juice is not one orange. A glass of juice is probably about 10 oranges or 10 apples or 10 whatever. You got to get rid of the sugar, all kinds of sugar, and cut down your carbohydrates. This is all based on thousands and thousands of case studies. And also on the ketogenic diet. Many, many good quality studies have shown what ketogenic diet can do. It can do more for a depressed patient than drugs. All kinds of mental illnesses can be influenced drastically by lowering your carbohydrates and sugar. All diseases are influenced by sugar and carbohydrates. The more that you eat of them, the more damage you're making in your body. I'm just trying to make you healthy. I know what it's like to be unhealthy. And I know what it's like to be healthy, to feel fantastic, to have life with passion, to live life with passion. You deserve it. If you've lived 40, 50, 60, 70 years, I don't want you to get old and feel like you're old. You can live as long as you want and feel as good as you want if you want. Want is what you should say to yourself. I want to be healthy. I want to be emotionally strong. I want to be emotionally healthy. I don't want to live a life of depression, of schizophrenia. All of these so-called mental illnesses, bipolar. You can change all these. Truly, I'm not trying to pull your leg. That'd be so cruel to promise you something that I can't really guarantee you. But I can guarantee your life will change drastically if you switch to a ketogenic diet, or at least the Mediterranean diet, or at least the paleo diet. But I like the ketogenic diet because it makes the most sense. And it's so easy to do. And you can find it everywhere on the internet and how to follow it. And you can even go to PubMed and research the ketogenic diet and diseases. It gives you all the information. There's nothing harmful about it. It's a perfect diet. It's a diet of our caveman times. Hunters and gatherers. They were hunting and gathering their food. They weren't producing it in a laboratory, making it out of nothing, making it out of sugar, white flour. And we eat over 300 pounds of sugar and flour that are all carbohydrates. Give me a break, friends. You can change your life if you want to. And I'm going to be here every week sharing the same information. Probably if you want to skip all this, probably join me about 15 minutes after the hour. You'll probably get 15 minutes of relaxation and rest before you join my soapbox opera or soapbox preaching. But I'm going to bring you information that I hopefully that you can use all the time. And I'm going to talk to you about my featured topic today, Omega 7. Now, why they talk about seed oil? Because seed oil contains a very, very high level of omega 6. Now, there's a number of omegas. So keep these all straight if you can. I had a time, too, that I had to learn to keep all these straight. We don't want high levels of omega 6. Linoleic acid. Omega 6. Why do we want to avoid omega 6? Because it's pro-inflammatory. In your body, it causes inflammation. Why are you buying products to reduce inflammation? Why are you buying products to reduce pain? And then eating foods that contain high levels of omega 6 that creates pain, that creates inflammation. You want to avoid omega 6. And all the seed oils, more commonly known in the past as vegetable oils, they're very high in omega 6. Soybean oil, corn oil, canola oil, grapeseed oil. Grapeseed oil has the highest level of omega 6. Now, I'm not saying omega 6 is found in grapeseed extract. Grapeseed extract is a powdered seed. There's no omega 6. If you're buying French grapeseed extract, it has a high concentration of anthocyanins, compounds that are anti-inflammatory, antioxidative. These are very, very powerful anti-cancer, anti-heart disease, anti-diabetic. Omega 6 is not found in grapeseed extract. It's found in the oil. There's no oil in grapeseed extract. So many people have said, I went out and bought grapeseed oil because you talk about grapeseed oil. I do not talk about grapeseed oil for your benefit. French grapeseed extract, a powdered extract, no oil, no omega 6. So these omegas are very, very powerful and healthy. But which one? So you want to avoid all the ones that were commonly called vegetable oils. Now we're going to talk about, we can talk about omega 7, another one you may never have heard about, omega 5, and then of course you know already omega 3, and possibly omega 9. But right now I want to focus on omega 7. It's a very unique berry called sea buckthorn berry. Now, it is not vitamin C. It is S-E-A. Sea buckthorn. Sea buckthorn berry. This berry is very, very nutritious. And all the omega-7 that I will give you the benefits of in just a moment, so hang on. Omega-7 is a unbelievable berry. But it only comes from the fruit. The omega-7 is found in the fruit, not the seed. Now, there also are seeds in sea buckthorn that are very healthy. They contain a perfect ratio of omega-3, omega-6. Yes, omega-6. But it's in relationship with omega-3. That makes it healthy. You have to have a ratio of omega-3 and omega-6 like 1 to 1. Maybe 2 to 1 in favor of omega-6. But that does not cause any harm because you have enough omega-3 there to prevent any damage. And then you have omega-9. These three, omega-6, omega-3, omega-9, are all in sea buckthorn seed. Those seeds are okay. But you have omega-7 in the sea buckthorn. And that is in the pulp of the fruit. Why is sea buckthorn so special? It primarily grows in the Himalayas, in China, in Malaysian countries. It's a beautiful, beautiful orange berry. But it has tremendous amount of thorns. That's why it's called sea buckthorn, because all these thorns grow in the trees, and they should be hand-picked. That makes them more expensive because you can't pick them off the trees very easily because there are so many thorns that you get scratched, poked, picked, and sometimes even bleeding. But why is that so special? Well, they have analyzed these berries. And there are over 200, yes, 200, over 200 beneficial vitamins, minerals, and other compounds, including omega fatty acids, 3, 6, 9, and 7. Four very special omegas, but especially omega 7. And vitamin E, and vitamin C, and beta carotene, and plant sterols, and minerals, and 60 different antioxidants. How does this work? And why would we want to take this on a daily basis? Well, first of all, it neutralizes. That means it wipes it out. It neutralizes cancer-causing free radicals. It wipes out inflammation. It's highly anti-inflammatory. It boosts the immune system and keeps the immune system in a proper modulation. It strengthens the cardiovascular system. And what it really does, it improves the mucous membranes in the body. What are mucous membranes? If you stick your finger in your mouth and you rub the side of your cheek inside your mouth, and you feel that wet cheek, that cheek is covered by a membrane called a mucous membrane. It's in your mouth, your throat, your intestinal tract, your colon, vagina, in your eyes, in your nasal passages, everywhere. And it's usually wet. The only one I can recall that is not wet, but it's still called a mucous membrane, is your skin. Your skin is the largest organ in your body. It's dry. But some people have too dry a membrane. They have very dry skin. So, sea buckthorn oil from the fruit, not from the seed, from the fruit, is a tissue regenerator. So if you have a dry nasal passage, dry vagina, dry skin, dry eyes, any dryness, can be eliminated by taking the buckthorn berry. Now, what you should remember is that sea buckthorn restores moisture. And I went back and I found a really good study. It is a randomized, placebo-controlled clinical study of women with Sjogren's syndrome, which is an autoimmune disease that damages the glands in the body that produce moisture. And over 80% of the subjects of the study saw improvement in their symptoms, including dry eyes and mouth. So if you are having dry eyes and mouth, or joint pain, vaginal itching and burning, you should take sea buckthorn oil. It's usually found in a soft gel capsule, about 500 milligrams soft gel capsule. And separately, in another clinical study of 100 people with dry eyes, and it's very irritating. Dry eyes almost feel blurry, like sand in your eyes, and just chronic irritation. Now, they were given 4 capsules daily. So that's 2,000 milligrams. 500 milligrams per capsule, 4 capsules. That equals 2,000 milligrams of sea buckthorn oil, which significantly relieved dry eye symptoms, including redness and burning. So here's why you want to use, or may want to use, omega-7 sea buckthorn oil from the fruit. Now, I've seen some products that contain 500 milligrams of sea buckthorn oil from the fruit, plus omega-3, 6, and 9 from the seed of the sea buckthorn oil. Now, you want to use it primarily for dry mouth, dry eyes. No side effects. This is a very, very safe oil. For Sjogren's syndrome, peptic ulcers, irritated, dry, itchy skin, and treating and preventing dry, irritated, itchy skin, and preventing wrinkles, dryness, and other symptoms of prematurely aging skin. Prevention of atherosclerosis and heart disease. Menopause problems, including dry vaginal tissue. Any health condition involving inflammation, especially involving the mucous membranes. So how much should you take and what to look for? I know it's hard when you don't really know products inside and out, and you might not even know the products that are on the shelf, but for basic health maintenance, 500 milligrams daily of sea buckthorn oil in a soft gel capsule. That would be one capsule daily, just as a health maintenance program. Now, treatment dosages is usually somewhere between 2 to 3 grams daily. So look for sea buckthorn oil, SEA, buckthorn oil, from Berry as a supercritical CO2 extract. That means they use carbon dioxide, no solvents, no toxins, no poison, and always hand harvested. Why? Because many of the unscrupulous growers of sea buckthorn cut the branches off the tree, freeze them, and then they whack them against a hard surface, knocking the berries loose. But it damages the berries, damages the oil. You want them hand-picked, and that's a tough, tough job. And that's why they're more expensive in some cases. But 150 milligrams of omega-7 per capsule. Capsules can be chewed, and actually the oil swished in the mouth. The taste is relatively mild. And bathing the mouth tissues directly can be very helpful for many health conditions, like cancer of the throat, cancer of the mouth, inflammation of the mouth, gum tissues that are dry and irritated. People are drinking tons of water. Many cancer patients have to walk around with water because their mouth is so dried out from the chemotherapy and the radiation. Sea buckthorn oil is an answer for this. But I've got to take a break. I'll be back right after this. Don't go away unless you want to miss some more very interesting topics. This is Terry Talks Nutrition. I'm Terry Natchley. Back right after this. And welcome back, my friends. Thank you for joining us for the second portion of our program. We're going to be here to the top of the hour right here on Terry Talks Nutrition. I'm Terry Naturally. I have been doing this for the last 55 years. And I don't think I want to ever stop. Well, maybe you're disagreeing with that. But I love what I do. I have a passion for what I do. I know what I have gone through. From bad diet to good diet. From bad health to good health. It all equates. You can't eat garbage and expect to be healthy. You know the computer saying, garbage in, garbage out. Exactly the same. And I've got more great topics coming up. I want to tell you a little bit about two new studies on the health benefits of exercise. And the nutrient of the day, vitamin K. K like kick. K. Why vitamin K? The connection between body fat and skin disease. And you can just make a very, very simple change to avoid heart attack. You'd want to know this one for sure. And the effects of night shift work on women. A closer look at telomeres. What are telomeres? Is your allergy medicine increasing your risk of dementia? I would vote yes. Very excellent studies that prove your allergy medicines are increasing your risk of dementia. You can't escape the side effects of drugs. Some are more mild than others. Some are very harsh than others. So it's really time for you to decide what you want to use. Natural alternative medicines? Or do you want to use drugs with side effects? It's all up to you. So now here are two new studies on the health benefits of exercise. Exercise to build the brain. Boy, that's important. How do you have a healthier brain? Well, 44 older adults with mild cognitive impairment were chosen for the study. For 6 months, half of the group participated in a resistant exercise program. That means weight training sessions, weight bearing sessions, twice a week, and moderate to high intensity, and with progressive loads. The rest of the group did not exercise. And here's the result. After 6 months, the participants who practiced weight training. Now, I'm not saying bodybuilding. I'm not saying like you're going to be a bodybuilder. You're not going to become buff. But just using weight in the participation of the exercise, you might use 5 pounds, you might use 20 pounds or 30 pounds. And that is not always important. But some form of weight training, had better performance in memory tests, improved brain cell function, and less decline in areas of the brain associated with Alzheimer's disease. Don't just use body weight. Well, that's also very good. But you want to use some kind of weight resistance. Control group actually showed a worsening of the brain, all of the parameters of the brain, for all of these areas. Previous research using animal models found that resistance training, that means pitting your muscle against the weight, like arm curls, increase the number and activity of neurons in the brain, nerve cells, not even close to the brain. But the exercise, which led to better results on tests of memory and thinking. Exercise can be quite important. Now, some weekend warriors, those that really go out and train, can also benefit from exercise. Researchers looked at health data from over 13,000 U.S. adults. They divided people into two groups based on the reported amount of exercise, inactive or active, for 150 minutes a week or less. Now, the active exercise more than 150 minutes a week over three or more sessions. The weekend warrior exercised more than 150 minutes a week over one or two sessions, or highly intense. Now, the results of this study versus inactive, any amount of exercise reduced the risk of anxiety. Any exercise, any amount. And we've seen research on 5 and 10 minutes of exercise daily. Effects were greatest for the weekend warriors. They had a 35% decrease risk of anxiety. Even if you only get active on the weekend, you can still experience health benefits. You may be busy all week. You've got kids that have to be brought here and there. You've got activity at work that you can't relax. You're still pondering over at night, over the week. So you're busy all week. That doesn't mean you should give up on the weekend. Go out and do a weekend of exercise. Get out with your family and bike. Go swimming. Walking, anything that tells you you're out there moving and finding some breathlessness, finding some sweating, feeling good, even on the weekend, you don't need to do. And now I'm not giving you an excuse. You should work out at least 3 or 4 times a week. But even if you can't, and you can only do a weekend, you are still going to better. You're still going to experience benefits. So exercise. I still believe that diet is 90% of it, but you can still include some exercise. It doesn't hurt. Now, the nutrient of the day, vitamin K2. Vitamin K is something new to you. It's found in multiple forms. Vitamin K is important for blood clotting. It's the clotting vitamin. And it's also valuable for your heart and bone health and bone density. Now, there are different food sources having different forms of vitamin K. Vitamin K1 can be found in green leafy vegetables. It's your clotting vitamin. Vitamin K2 is found in animal-based and fermented foods, egg yolks, liver, cheese made from whole milk, otherwise known as fermented soy. To make things even more confusing, vitamin K2 is also found in more than one form. There are several forms of vitamin K2. The most well-absorbed form of K2 is called MK7. Miniquinone 7. In Japan, they use a lot of natto, an excellent source of the MK7 form of vitamin K2. And it is a commonly consumed food. The ratio of MK7 in Japanese women to European women is about 15 to 1. 15 times in the Japanese women to 1 in European women. But the bone fracture ratio for Japanese women to European women is the opposite, 1 to 15. So this is a great indication of how important MK7 is to the building of strong bones. And not only to bones, but vitamin K is also important for the heart. New studies, and here's one that I really like, one of the new study results, 165 pre- and postmenopausal women with low vitamin K levels. Now, for 1 year, half of these women received a placebo, a fake pill. They didn't know that, but it was made to look exactly like the active K2. Half received the supplemental MK7, vitamin K2. About 180 micrograms daily. And the results of this study, the placebo group had a 50% increase in arterial stiffness. The arteries were hard, less flexibility, hard and stiff, and increased blood pressure. The MK7 group had a very small increase in arterial stiffness and no increase in blood pressure. So how do you take K2? Look for the absorbable form MK7. Take once or twice daily in combination with other key nutrients for the heart and bone. One I like, and the one that I personally use, is a combination of K2, 90 micrograms of miniquinone 7, 5,000 international units of vitamin A as retinol pulmonate, and 5,000 IU of vitamin D3. Now I take 2 a day of this combination, and that gives you the 180 micrograms, 10,000 vitamin A, and 10,000 international units of vitamin D3. This strengthens the heart, improves bone density, and hopefully prevents a fracture. This is the one that you want to use for improving the calcium level of your bones and that of your arteries. Now, I talk a lot about fat. Belly fat, abdominal fat, obesity. You know, you don't get fat eating fat. As crazy as that sounds, as long as you're not eating carbohydrates that turn to fat and sugar that turns to fat, all your fat on your body, wherever it is, belly fat, abdominal fat, or fat overall, or obesity, comes from carbohydrates and sugar. When they can no longer be used to provide energy, they are stored as fat. Insulin resistance or insulin sensitivity prevents or has not the ability to create energy from carbohydrates and sugar. So the body thinks, well, maybe I can use this later. So I'll store it as fat. And then when I need it, I can burn it back to sugar. So that's where all the fat comes from. Fat does not produce fat in the body or on the body, in the body. Fat is healthy. Now, there's bad fats and good fats, but that's another story. Avoid the bad fats. That usually comes from seed oil or the fat that comes from sugar and carbohydrates. And good fats, like olive oil, macadamia nut oil, pecan oil, avocado oil, cream, butter, extra virgin olive oil is my favorite. All these fats are good for us. Lard, bacon grease. In the days when we used all of these fats, before the scare about fats being bad for us, people were not fat. People were not overly obese. They were in good shape. You look at people in the 1950s, 1960s, and 70s, they were all in good shape, all healthy, very little fat. All the fat came from on our bodies, in our bodies, were due to the fact that someone said, fats are bad for us. Let's avoid fats. If you want to avoid a heart attack or heart disease or other diseases, you have to avoid fat. So what else is there to eat for energy? Carbohydrates and sugar. So when the scare came about fats, everybody jumped on the bandwagon of eating more carbohydrates, more bread, more pasta, all of the flour. About 200 pounds of sugar per year per individual, 133 pounds of flour, not the flours you pick, the flour you eat, 133 pounds. So we're way over 300 pounds of carbohydrates and sugar. And that's where the connection is. The connection between belly fat and skin disease is the fat and carbohydrates you consume. The strange link between belly fat and skin disease. I thought this was very interesting. I do a lot of research. I have a research team that helps me gather scientific studies. And we found that researchers have found a connection between visceral fat. That's the fat in your belly. Visceral fat is the fat found in your belly and the combination that causes obesity and that causes the inflammatory skin disease, psoriasis. If you have psoriasis, pay attention. Both obesity and psoriasis are associated with chronic inflammation. Every cell that is filled with fat whether we are obese or mildly fat, causes chronic inflammation. The thinner you are, the less inflammation you have. So both obesity and psoriasis are associated with chronic inflammation. The researchers used 25 different methods of evaluating body fat on over 330,000 adults and found that a high waist-to-hip ratio, meaning that the abdominal body fat was highly predictive of psoriasis. If you're overweight, if you're obese, all the fat is causing psoriasis because it causes inflammation. Abdominal or visceral fat releases proteins called cytokines. Cytokines that trigger low level of inflammation and increase risk of autoimmune diseases like psoriasis. Previous studies have reported that for every 5-unit increase of BMI increases the risk of psoriasis by 17%. Just think about that. Fat causes many diseases. What causes fat? Carbohydrates and sugar. When you adopt a ketogenic diet, you are reducing carbohydrates and sugar. And that in turn reduces fat. You lose fat. If you want to lose fat, eat fat. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? But it works every time. You don't even have to try. In fact, you can't eat enough foods of fat cause any complications. Very healthy for you. Choose good fats, not bad fats, and make them a part of your diet. In fact, your diet should be more primarily fat than protein and way, way, way more than carbohydrates or sugar. You'll have a much more healthy body over time. So how do you make a simple change to avoid a heart attack? You want to know a very simple change? Get moving to keep your heart healthy. For 1 year, researchers tracked the physical activity using a fitness tracker of 600 patients who had chest pain or other warning signs of a heart attack or heart disease that put them at high risk of a heart attack for a year. The results, replacing 30 minutes of sitting with 30 minutes of light or moderate physical activity, significantly reduced the risk of heart disease or a heart attack. The least active people, basically sedentary, with less than 2 hours of physical activity a day, at 2.5 times increased risk of heart attack. More active people overall had a 50 to 60% reduction in the risk of heart attack by getting at least 2 hours a day of physical activity. Even just cleaning the house, doing laundry, doing dishes, all of this activity counts as moving. You want to keep moving, not sitting all day. And therefore, risk was further reduced by adding in 30 minutes of moderate exercise, such as a brisk walk or riding a bicycle. Also, more help for your heart from consuming aronia berry. Aronia berry, A like apple, R like Robert, O like olive, N like Nancy, I, A, aronia berry. in a clinical study including patients with metabolic syndrome, the use of aronia berry extract reduced systolic blood pressure by 11 points and diastolic, the lower number, blood pressure by 5 points. It also, inflammatory triglyceride levels were reduced by 13%. And in other studies, aronia berry extract has been shown to increase blood flow and boost nitric oxide, opening up the vessels, opening up the arteries, causing more blood flow, better blood flow, more oxygen to the heart. You only need to take 300 milligrams of aronia berry extract daily. Just 300 milligrams. It is one of the most powerful berries known in nature. It is the strongest berry known in nature. The healthiest berry. Healthiest berry due to the fact that it contains a very, very high level of very specific OPCs from the heart. This is the kind of healthy, natural alternatives to be used rather than medicine. When your doctor prescribes medicines, why? Choose to know why. Why am I taking this, doctor? Can I take something else? And of course, your doctor will always refuse. Ask more questions. Tell them that you've heard about aronia berry. And maybe you want to even take literature or a booklet. I've seen a booklet in health food stores about aronia berry. This is one of the most powerful berries known to man and woman and everybody. 300 milligrams of aronia berry extract daily. That will reduce heart disease dramatically, significantly. So, my friends, another weekend has gone. Another hour has been passed. Providing you with as much information I possibly can find in an hour's time. But until we meet again, say a prayer for this crazy, crazy world. God bless you. And God bless this great country.
Sometimes as dads, I think we're too hard on ourselves. We get down on ourselves on not being able to, you know, we're the providers, but we also have to learn to take care of ourselves. Arapaho way, you got to pray for yourself as well as for everybody else, but never forget yourself. Self-love made me a better dad because I realized my worth.
Never stop being a dad. That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday morning, Up North News reporter Selena Heller will talk to Jimmy Cuska, Jane Matinere.
And me.
Oh, that's Dr. Kristen Lyerly. She'll be here too.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by T-Mobile Business Advantage.
I'm Michael Wallace. President Trump has ordered the deployment of two nuclear submarines in response to remarks by former Russian President Dmitry Medvedev. Medvedev has been critical of Trump's threats of sanctions on Russia. CBS's Catherine Watson says it's not clear which submarines are being deployed.
If they're nuclear-armed submarines, there are at any given time a few of those on patrol, but the range of the missiles they carry are so great that the submarines themselves could be in the Atlantic, the Pacific, or the Indian Ocean and still be capable of hitting Russia. If he's talking about nuclear-powered submarines armed with conventional cruise missiles, there are generally two of those in the Atlantic and two in the Pacific, and those cruise missiles have a range of about 1,500 miles. So the appropriate regions doesn't have to be near Russia necessarily to pose a threat to Russia.
President Trump has fired the commissioner of the Bureau of Labor Statistics after he posted a disappointing job.